So in this place, after being the river itself watering the garden, now what it waters is the rain. So has nothing to do with what we do with our effort. Because this is given in its own. Like, it doesn't have a relation between what I do and the rain itself. She says, here in this place there is no feeling, there are no senses. We are not driven by feelings or senses, or in other words, those feelings or senses are not the ones defining the experience. Like, we don't know the experience, what's happening through the senses. And also is a place of joy, of pleasure, without understanding that which is enjoyed. Like, without trying to figure out what is this which is. But being in this what is. Let's say, is a place where we lose interest in trying to find out. Or we could say also that there is no energy for questioning to happen. Like, we live our lives and we feel many times that our movements, our meditation, our efforts are a reaction of our questions. We have a question like, what is the sky? And then we turn ourselves on to start the search, to know what is the sky, or what is to be human, or what is water, or whatever question it is, or what is life, or what is death. But in this place, there is no, these questions, like the fuel for these questions is gone. There is no more fuel to bring up these questions. So there is no questioning. And that doesn't mean that everything is known in terms of science or in terms of question and solution, problem and solution. But more that the question itself dissolve. They don't pop up anymore. So there is much more spaciousness or being. There is the possibility of being because we don't have the problem or the work of trying to find out, or trying to solve something. Yeah, the image of the rain is like in the third place was a river passing near the garden, let's say, and then you only have to drive the water through, like just, you know, make sure that everything gets water, but it's not real. It's not much effort. It's just like making the path. But here the water rains. It's just rain all the time. So it's no effort. Like, will be effort to stop the rain, actually. So it's like there is nothing I can do to stop this rain. This is there, watering constantly. And doesn't depend on my effort, is there. She said, and the whole being is occupied or dancing with this joy of being in this place. Like there is nothing left in our being to be occupied with something else. Like everything is dancing in this beingness. No, like, it's not like our usual situation where someone is watching, no? Like, even if we have experienced something, like, there is always the sense of, or most of the times the sense of, like, I was there, but kind of my arm or my hand was not there, like, was watching it, was observing it, so was not fully in this situation. The whole being is there. There is nothing left out that could be occupied with something else. She says, like, something else, exterior or interior. Like, not occupied in something outside, but also not occupied in anything inside. It's not like figuring out or catching what is happening, but just being. Very beautiful. She says, like, before, like, you were able to keep saying, ah, this place is very, very nice, very, very nice. Like, making it big, no? And saying it. She says, in this place, there is not even energy to, in the body, to try to explain this place, this enjoyment. Like, in a way we could say it's so obvious, like once falling there, it's so obvious that it feels ridiculous to try to explain it. You know, we keep trying, but like it feels so natural that it's like, how I couldn't see it before. You know, it's like impossible to believe how we are not seeing it all the time. So one don't even lose time or energy trying to explain that, but just being there. She says, like, in this place, all the theology gets very far away, like very much nonsense, you know, like it will not occur to you to go to try to find any answer in the books. And one doesn't care about all these questions, like what is mine, what is soul, or what is the difference between soul and mind, and all these things, like, no questions about all these things that before I was like really trying to find out, you know. She says, like, falling into this place, you see that winter time is gone forever. Like, you know that this rain is available always, and the weather is always good in this garden. So there is always flowers and fruits for the enjoyment itself, like not for anything, just for the life, expression of life, you know, just why not? She says, of course, in this place, all the work you have done, it seems like ridiculous or hugely well paid, let's say, like totally like not fair paid. Like you feel like actually you feel like you have done so little, even if you have been practicing like 50 years, you have done so little compared to this amazing gift. Like it's much bigger than anything you could provoke, you know, or you could gain through effort. This also many Zen texts say, like one moment of clarity, like erases like many things from the past. Like she says, in the beginning, this place comes to me in a very, very short moment, like 1 minute or half minute. She says, but the sun there is so bright, so clear. That makes everything understand everything. This clarity, even though it's very brief, makes the whole being understand many things. And you can feel it in your own body. And you can feel that this sun had come and had melted many bones. Bones? What do you say? Bones? Not bones, like wounds. When you cough, wounds. I always make a mess with these things. Wounds? Wounds. So that this sun had come and had melted, like, and healed many wounds. No matter how short the time with the sun is, like that clear is the sun. She says, like, whoever touched this place will know that it's not possible to say anything. Because what happened there is so intimate. The only thing I can say is being in that place is being God itself, being the source itself. And once you have been there, like there is a clarity or certainty, we could say, that is not possible to ignore. You will not miss it. Like, it's impossible to doubt if that had been there or not. She says, like, in this place also, the memory cello, like the memory goes, like, its job, like, memory loses its job. Like, suddenly, memory is gone. But she says, very cute, you know. So it happens that this little bothering butterfly always present, which is the memory, she says, cannot do like this anymore. Like, cannot, you know, fly anymore. Because the whole being is so, she says, occupied in loving, without even understanding how is loving. Like, the whole being is so busy, like, or so involved in loving, so wide, without even knowing how this loving happens. So it's not like when we come from our mind, like, saying many things about love, you know. We all speak a lot about love, but usually it's this idea of love. She says, like, no clue how this love is loving, but is love. I just say how she says, because it's nice. She says, the knowledge, if it knows, there is no way to know how is knowing. Cannot understand anything which is understanding. She says, so to me it doesn't seem like knowing, because as I'm saying, you don't know. You are in a place of that is not about knowing in this place. She says, like, in the beginning, when that started happening to me, like, this ignorance came, because she says, like, I couldn't believe that I was seeing God in everything. To me, that seemed impossible, kind of saying, like, this no one told me, like, no one told me that this could happen. So I always believed that this was not possible to happen, that God will always be separate, like some other thing, bigger and blah, 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 whatever you want to say. But to see God in everything, that was not in her agenda. So she was in the beginning kind of experiencing that, and at the same time saying to herself, but this is not possible, this cannot be, you know. God needs to be separate to be God, you know. So she kept, but she said, like, in the beginning this little ignorance popped. But then I accepted the situation, which was God is everything. What to do? Like, even if these priests that were coming by to advise her were saying, like, this is wrong, like, she said, this is my experience, you know, what can I do? What can I do? So she says the soul is left, like, with so much tenderness. Tenderness is good? Okay. Like, you are tender, no? With baby or... Okay. With so much tenderness that it just wanted to melt, you know? Just soul just wanted to melt. And to cry, but not in any way out of sadness, but out of love, out of joy. Again, she says, but in very beautiful image, she says, in a room where the sun comes a lot, like the sun really comes in, there is no possible to hide anything. So, in other words, like, being in this place, there is so much clarity that everything is transformed. Like, nothing can be hidden or left for after, you know. Sometimes we say, ah, with this problem I will deal after the retreat or in few years or whatever. But coming in this place, light is so strong that it's not possible to hide that. So that gets uplifted, you know, like transform, or like just heal, you know, we can say. Then from that, simply knowing that nothing which had been given is because of her effort, like basically like bowing in before that which happened, understanding that this fruit is not because of her, like, that this fruit is available. And also that there is no need to hold on to this fruit. So then there is overcoming joy in sharing that in a very natural way. So slowly, slowly that just manifests into life. And somehow you really pray or wish not to be alone enjoying this fruit. Like you really want everyone to be there, everyone to enjoy this fruit. So it's she says people start to see that somehow you are keeping or you have a treasure inside. Like a treasure from higher inside. And also people want to be nourished with that. People who can see want to be near that. And she really wants everyone to share that. So, anything?
Was she?
Same. Santa Teresa, yesterday we were into her, so today also.
It seems like to be in this rain.
In the?
To be in the rain.
Yeah.
You need to choose a very spiritual way of life. And I don't understand how you can be in this rain in your normal life.
Yeah,
she chose a.
Yeah, in her experience, she chose spiritual life.
Yeah.
And very specific, you know, very close and dedicated to meditation only. Yeah, I'm saying in this example, she. But that doesn't need to be like this. Like that doesn't need to be like this.
Seems like this is the only way to be in this way.
Yeah, it really seems to. I agree. It really seems to. Like for many years, I kept feeling this really specific feeling that should be possible. In normal life, what you call normal life, right? And I was going everywhere, asking to all the experts on that. And people I met, they were saying like, no way. But I kept feeling that yes, should be a way. And it was difficult because I had to really follow my feeling. Which was, let's say, against what I was being told.
But you have chosen spiritual way of life.
But I have normal life.
It's pretty normal.
It's not normal. It's a little weird, but it's normal. Like, I have to pay my bills and everything. I have mobile phone and these kind of normal things.
But you live in India.
I live wherever these kind of things happen.
Yeah, so my question is really about normal life, you know, how to...
Yeah.
Like yesterday you said about those, you meet people 40 years old, they after all this family and car, and those people, you know, they can afford themselves, after they've done everything,
yeah.
They can afford themselves spiritual way of living. But what about young people before all this, that it seems like it's in a way it's impossible.
No, it's not impossible. That's for sure. It's not impossible. But it takes a little more. Like, it depends where you start, you know? Some people need to go through all these things that I was saying yesterday, like a car, blah, 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 to really find out that life is not about that. But some people, we can say, are born, or for whatever situation, always have this feeling that that is not totally right. Something is hidden. There are this kind of people, like there are many young people here also. And you can also follow that. There are many ways, you know. Normal, we could say, like, in general, many people go through all this and then have to let go of that. But many times, question if a child is allowed to have the question and the question is not caught, that is there as a child. Like, child have this kind of question, but we could say through education, we make sure that all these questions are cut off. So nothing is left on his or her own. But if a child is in a situation where that is allowed, then probably there are many chances for this person to follow its own intuition without having to try 2 million things. Like having enough wisdom to see that that next desire will lead also to non-happy place. Some people need to try every single thing so that by experience to know, that was wrong. But some other people find this is wrong, say, probably all of this is the same trick. So why to go into that? But of course that could say authenticity is needed for that. Authenticity, to be authentic, or some help from somewhere to keep yourself in touch with your heart. You know, that needs to be there. Or many things, you know, many things. That also tells you, like, straight away, you better look for something else, or to do it, you know. Many things are happening around. I remember, like, just very, very, very small, like, one day watching TV, and was something about Africa. I just remember something about Africa. And I went running under my desk. Not under my desk, but just desk. It was very small. I went under my desk and I started crying for hours. And everyone was trying to come and say, like, what happened? And I remember, like, not being able to say anything. I just was feeling like, this is not how it should be. Like, something is wrong. Like, something, this is not how it should, like, just something like this. You know, I couldn't say anything. I was just crying.
It seems to me, along with what you were saying, it seems to me that if we really want to lead a spiritual life, then we can carry it even into the most worldly junk, you know?
Yeah.
Because nobody can make us give our heart to them. you know, no employer, he may take our way, you know, our time and everything, but what's in our heart we carry with us. And I have aged in many years doing worldly work. Pardon? I worked many years in the world because I had no choice, and I pursued spiritual practice also pretty much full time. And it was very possible. It required some determination to get up early enough to be able to have a long meditation before work and some time to read something inspiring. And then I would often take my lunch break alone so that I could meditate and keep from getting too extroverted. And then after work I would meditate again, and so, like, it's possible. But it requires determination, and slowly, slowly, the determination grows, like the rain, you know. Maybe the river gets a little wider, or the well gets a little wider, or something. But it's possible. It's cherishing it in your heart, and carrying it with you everywhere you go, so that even, like, I would make challenges for myself. Okay, I have a rotten boss, and I will learn how to get along with this person. And I made myself use everything that I was reading and studying. I would make myself practice it to see if this would work. And it always did work. So that I made all the obstacles into advantages. Amen. That's it.
I think that that once you do something like this, once you do a retreat, once you're on a spiritual path, you don't have any other choice but to continue, no matter what you're doing in the world. It doesn't even matter. That once you're on this path, you're on it, and there's no getting off. So it doesn't even matter what you do in the world, because you're on, you know.
Yeah. What type of meditation did she do?
She.
Who, me?
No.
Teresa.
Teresa.
Did she talk about it, or?
Because she was Christian, very much. So she was a nun, Catholic nun. So basically, like, praying. And let's say trying to be with God, and trying to eat Jesus, you know. This is what they do. Trying to be, like, so close to Him, so that He will tell directly, you know, what everything. So it's a lot about reading scripture, like Bible, and also a lot of contemplation. Like, there is the sacred form, let's say, the body of Christ. Also, like, this connecting to that, we could say universal heart, or He who came to take the suffering of the world. So actually, like, it's fun. It's funny sometimes that nuns speak a lot about taking the cross, you know, like this thing and the suffering. But I always think, like, but He came to take the suffering of the world so that you don't need to suffer, you know? But still, like, it seems like humans, we like to take on the heavy part, no? I take the cross. He already carried the cross. Let Him, you know? There is no cross, like, He's saying that, just, I'm taking it for you, so please, don't no need to do it again, you know, like this. But to get to this understanding, the nuns many times get to this happiness really through caring cross. You know? So how that happens?
Janet,
like this.
There's the practice of Tonglen,
yeah,
which is similar in a way, right? Because we take on ourselves the suffering,
yeah,
of the world, and we send back, you know, benevolence and,
yeah,
and lightness. And people say that it really transforms their life also.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about her. I mean, her at that time when she was living, for her to say that she sees God in everything, would have, you know, I mean, she could have been burned at the stake or something like that. I'm wondering what happened to her. Did she live? Did she survive her? Did she survive all right? Did she die? Did the church kill her? I mean,
yeah, no, like
kill people, the same thing.
Yeah,
I just was wondering.
Nadia tells the story.
Huh?
Nadia tells the story how she died.
Yeah.
She like she was very sick.
Oh.
Like actually, all her life she was very weak.
Oh.
So then she was sick and died quite young. But I don't know, you know, this is just an excuse so that we can speak about something, you know. Yeah.
So this was in time that this happened. It happened on May 13th, something, something, something. But then yet it was... something for like for you and for her that obviously had such a tremendous impact that it stayed,
mm-hmm,
with you, with her. Is that right? I mean,
yeah, this is what it said, you know, the sun is so strong that there is no place hidden, you know, it's cleaning system. You know, like healing. When healing happens, something gets transformed. We could say it changes the shape, you know?
Maybe transforming. Like you and she were probably a different, you were the same, but you were different after that experience.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you see, you see. Like it's what she's saying, like is I was, even she's saying, I was trying to make myself think that I don't see, because this is how I had been calling myself, someone that I don't see. But when this seeing comes, it's so clear that you cannot live as if you didn't see. Like, your way of living changes. Because it's, you cannot skip that. Yeah, that stays, we can say.
So, Jenna, I'm kind of getting what she's saying is that in really profound, in that case, her meditation experience, it's not the, in a way, it's not the experience that counts, and this was her experience,
yeah,
but it's the knowing that she was left with afterwards. That,
yeah.
That's, I don't know, maybe this relates to the thing about lifestyle. You know, we can have all sorts of experiences and sometimes almost want to hold on to them, but for her, the experience was what allowed this seeing that then is what transformed her life.
Yeah, what she says, falling into that place. Of not knowing.
Mm.
Which means like, because we live our lives with an agenda.
Mm.
with an agenda, and always with question. There is always something that we don't know, and we want to know. We want to know who am I, we want to know many, many, many things, you know. So imagine, just for 1 second, like, imagine that agenda is gone, and suddenly there is no question popping. Zero. Like all this, all your life have been questioning, and running after the questions, and suddenly, like, question gone. And again, it's not that you know everything in terms of, like, scientific answer or just answer, but the energy or the fuel to create questions, that discomfort of being in this world without knowing its mystery, goes. Like, we could say, you can rest in the mystery of the world, and is great. Is this Zen, great Zen master, no? That, you know, like, the big difference, he expresses the big difference between being asked a question and saying, oh, I don't know, you know? Or being asked a question and saying, I don't know, you know? It's the same answer, totally different. This just dancing in the mystery without any need to, any pull, any fuel, anything left to being bothered to try to find out. Not because you are lazy, but because why not?
But in terms of trying to connect it, I'm not really at that level. I'm trying to have a sense of how the meditative experience related to that. Because she presumably could then go in, I mean, she wasn't living the whole time in this fourth brain thing, because you couldn't function.
This is what I wanted to ask.
You have to go and get on with, even as a nun, she had things to do, presumably.
Yeah.
So, but she could dip in and out of it, presumably at will.
I think that's an assumption.
Yeah, one moment. What?
She could presumably, you know, enter and leave that state of meditative absorption.
Yeah, she says, like, beginning was very, like, few seconds, then more and more, and then slowly, slowly, the life gets kind of transformed around that, and is another quality, like, even that people can see these flowers, that can see that there is a space to come in and out of her, you know? And, I mean, she goes full on also in experiences that is like asking God, please don't make me these experiences that show externally, like suddenly being paralyzed in the middle of the queue to go to eat Christ, you know, and things like that. I don't get into that.
She can barbecue herself on the ground.
Yeah, sometimes, like, energy was coming, and she was like, and then having to tell the other nuns, like, please don't talk about this with anyone, you know. Like, many things happen, but that, I think, is particular. I think the point here is not that much about her, but just inspiring, you know, rainy place, you know, this, that there is a place of rest. This is only maybe thing that is nice if it remains, you know, just like, there is a resting place, or there is a place for everyone in this world, you know, just really, like, fully. So that's what she says, what everyone who touches this place says. So that is what is important. Because, yeah. So time is going. So if we just have 1 minute in silence together.